Each one here, maybe we can open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come before you, mighty God. You have chosen us. You have called us out of this world, Lord, to live in you. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the grace that you provide that we can walk in truth. Lord, we thank you for this body here. Lord, we thank for each one of them that puts an effort in to make this body work, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you can hear. You can hear our cries today, Lord, and you can answer our prayers. Lord, that you can give us wisdom as we just heard, and knowledge and understanding. And give us ears to hear, Lord, and a tongue to speak, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The last few days we've been doing quite a bit of preaching. And I wondered if my voice would hold out for this morning. I decided maybe that I just wouldn't sing very much. But Brother Merv, you did a real good job this morning, and I wasn't able to hold back there either, so we'll trust the Lord that we can get through this. If you would turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 59. We'll begin there. The first half of that chapter in 59, it speaks about how the people were separate from God because of their sins. In verse 2 it says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." So we have a group of people here that have been separate from God, and if you read on through that chapter, it's pretty amazing the things that they were involved in. Their feet run to evil, the way of peace they know not. There is judgment far from us. And it leads up to a wonderful part of Scripture here. In verse 16 it says, "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds," this is verse 18, "he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." We all realize here that this has happened. We all realize here that the enemy has come in like a flood, and the enemy is trying to destroy every single person that's ever walked this earth. And we also see that God has lifted up a standard against him. In Isaiah 11:10, you don't have to turn there, it says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." The word ensign there is the same word as standard, which shall stand for a standard of the people. Now this word standard is kind of a word that's been tossed around here lately, maybe the last 4, 5, 6 years. But we know very clearly here what the standard that's being spoken of here is. And the title of the message is Christ, Our Standard. So God sees the wickedness in this world. He sees how perverted this world has come. He sees how the devil is making inroads into all of his children, his people. And they're turning from him and turning to sin. And God prophesies here through Isaiah that Christ is going to come. That Jesus Christ is going to come, and he is going to be our standard. It's a very high standard. And if you see the dot that I put here, I'm rather short, so I couldn't get it much higher. But it's a higher standard than that dot is. But I want our focus to be on the standard of Christ today. It's a standard that is excellent. It's what the Scripture teaches. And also I realize that we all can get weary in this standard, the standard of excellence. We can get weary at trying to obtain, at striving, as the Bible teaches, and looking at this standard in amazement, at reading the Scriptures and seeing how high this standard is, and looking around us and seeing how far everyone has fallen from the standard. And sometimes we can get weary in well-doing. But it's a wonderful thing that this isn't just a man-made standard. This is a standard that has been set forth by a holy God that not only created this world and everything in it, but he created each one of us. And he created us for a purpose. And that purpose is to walk in this standard, to live in this standard. And he has given each of us power to do so. He doesn't just lift up this standard and leave us to try to follow after it. He gives grace to meet this standard. Now we know, thank you, we know what separates us from this standard, don't we? It isn't each other. It's sin. Sin separates from this standard. So we have our eye on the standard. We're living in the standard. We have the peace and the joy of Christ within us. And then sin starts to press in from every side. And we know who the author and the finisher of that confusion is. But rarely, rarely do people that are living here in this standard just walk away from it. And I was trying to think in my own mind, if I know of anybody that I truly knew was walking in this standard that just said, I'm done, and walked away. Maybe you can think of some people that have done that. I'm not saying it hasn't ever happened, but I can't think of any. And the reason I can't think of any, because what usually happens is instead of walking away from this standard, they just start lowering the standard. They start bringing it down. You know, they have trouble obtaining to that standard, so it starts to come down. They bring it down to a place that they feel comfortable, a place that maybe they feel they can obtain. I think of an example of a family, an African-American family that had a son that was, his idol was basketball. And he wanted so bad when he was in his teenage years to be able to dunk a basketball. And he tried and tried and tried. And one day he came running to his father and he says, I've finally done it. I finally dunked the basketball. Of course, the father wanted to see this and says, son, let me show it to me. So they go to the gym there and the boy had the basketball hoop down about 8 foot. The dad says, son, that isn't going to work. You can't lower the standard just so that you can please your desire. That isn't the goal. You know, so often we do it. And we sit there and we start putting the basketball down at 8 foot and it starts to make us feel good like we've accomplished something. But ladies and gentlemen, dear friends, loved ones, that isn't the standard that Christ brought us. And because we live in a world that the standard is so low it's a shock to us. We don't go that low with our standard. We keep it above there and we feel a little bit comfortable. But it isn't the standard of Christ. It isn't the standard of excellence. And when you start bringing that standard down, there's things that will leave. I can assure you, things like peace, things like joy. The song we sing called Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Them kind of things start to leave. You can't get away with it. You can fool yourself by lowering the standard to a place where you can accomplish some things. But it isn't going to be in the power of God. And the blessing of God will not be in your life. How many people do you know that have been in churches like ours that left and went to the mega churches in Fort Wayne? Or wherever it would be, the mega churches, the city churches. It doesn't usually happen. Once again, I don't know that I can know of anybody that has done that. It's usually a gradual departure. It's a church that maybe believes and thinks somewhat like we do, but it's just a little bit less of a standard. And it just kind of trickles down until they end up in the big city churches where there is no standard. The standard of Christ has been depleted down to a place where we don't even recognize it as Christianity anymore. We've all seen it. We've all know people that are there. We don't like drastic changes. We like gradual changes. But let that change be more in the direction of the standard. You know, if you're not living in this standard, but you're looking at this standard, and with everything you want to be there. You have a humble heart, a heart that wants to learn. As Paul says, you're reaching forth. You know, you're quick to say, you know, I just don't feel like I might be at the standard, but I need some help to get there. I want your prayers. There's things lacking in my life. My heart is to be there. A standard of excellence. There's areas of my life that I feel are lacking. And God's going to help you along and give you that blessed assurance. But when the standard becomes lower, there's a disconnect. You know, when we're striving for that standard, when we're living in that standard, there's a connection, a spiritual connection between God and his people. And it's a beautiful, beautiful place to be. But when we become disconnected, when we lower the standard, we become disconnected. And I had to think just of these halogen lights here in this building. Now, it's been a while since I've put a halogen light bulb in a building or in a light socket like this. But I know that when you put it in there, you got to turn it just a certain way. And sometimes, at least back in the day when they were probably a lot older, it would be a little bit difficult to get that thing to just click in right. I know in our basement at home growing up, we had these lights and I'd be trying to change them and all of a sudden it would click. And we all know what happened. Right now, you knew that you had it because the light started shining. There was a connection there. A connection was made and it brought forth light. It brought forth fruit. It accomplished the thing you were trying to do, which is bring light to the room. And that's what this whole thing is about, is being connected to the Spirit of God. And if we're not connected, but we have the light in there, you know, you could actually have it in there sturdy enough to leave it there and it would stay. And we look around and here the problem is, you realize that hardly any of these lights are on. So maybe it would be all right. I can't quite get it figured out. I can't quite do it. I'll just settle for this light to be in the socket and not shining. But God knows when your light's not on, when there's been a little disconnect, when you've lowered the standard, God knows. And there will be no fruit with it being that way. I found, too, that people that leave this standard, they start lowering the standard. You know, if they were truly in this standard up here and they start lowering it, they know they're lowering it. And so what they do to try to overcome that guilt is they become very professing that they're the best Christian. The more they lower it, the more they talk about how good of a Christian they are, how holy they are, how pure they are. But the fruit continues to deteriorate. People that leave the standard of Christ, they usually don't want anything to do with any type of church standards. I find that interesting. You know, when that thing is clicked and you feel the Spirit of God in your life and you're a soft, humble, broken man or woman that loves the Lord, you become transparent. It's just something that happens. You no longer have to justify things. You no longer have to defend yourself. You become transparent. You actually invite people to look into your life. You want people to see things in your life that can help you in your walk to excellence. It's your desire. And when somebody comes up with something, you treasure that. And you repent and you change. But when you lower the standard, remember there's that guilt there and you want nothing to do with that. You don't want anybody to judge you. That's why Matthew 7:1 is now the most popular verse in America. It overtook John 3:16. Don't judge me. That becomes your heart. And it becomes your heart, I feel, because you know you've lowered the standard. You know you're not doing things right. You know when you're reading your Bible, there is a disconnect there. And you go searching for answers for this disconnect. How is it that the Bible says this and I'm not living this way? And you find a clever answer. There always is one out there. There's a clever answer that justifies your sin. But then when somebody comes at you and tries to confront this area, your arms go up. You get defensive. You're no longer transparent. When you get to that place where you don't want anybody to look in your heart, there's no peace, I can assure you. There's no blessed assurance. It's not a life of being on the offense, striving, going toward holiness. It's a life of defending your guilt and your shame. Have you ever had anybody tell you you're not a Christian? I'm sure we all have. it doesn't really mean a whole lot to us. Because we know within our own heart that the light's on. Because we're holding to that standard that is the Word of God, that is Christ. Don't be somebody that's easily offended, even gets upset. Don't live in bitterness. All this is to mask the fact that you're not living in that standard. Don't resort to easy believism. When that happens, your life starts turning hectic. Sin comes easy. And when sin comes easy, repentance comes hard. Your desires start matching the desires of the world. These are all signs that you're lowering the standard. Yes, I understand that these people still read their Bibles. I understand these people still do have a standard. I'm not saying they throw it all off. I'm not saying that when you start to leave, you throw it all off. You still have a standard. Maybe it's your prayer time in the morning. I had to think of a young man in this community that got into some trouble. And his father was in distress about this. And his father just said, I think I know why he's in this trouble. He stopped saying his prayers in the morning. He had a standard, but he missed the real standard. We have a standard of prayer time. We have a standard of going to church. But if we miss the real standard, if we miss the capital C standard, it's going to leave us empty. It's going to leave us empty and confused. I just had to think this morning of the Bible being torn apart, as we saw. People hold on, they treasure certain parts of the Scripture. Parts that justify this lower standard. If they find a lot of them in Romans 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou art saved. John 3:16, they take these pieces and they put them in their pockets and they don't let anybody tell them any different. It don't matter how I live. It don't matter that we're different. This verse tells me I'm a Christian. Instead of believing in God, they simply believe that they believe. I mean, think about that. I believe and don't tell me any different. And their confidence starts resting in their own belief instead of in God. And I can assure you there's no blessed assurance in this life. I want to read a few verses in Hebrews chapter 10. You can turn there if you'd like, or you don't have to. You can just listen. Verses 19 through 24. It states, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. You know, when the Bible talks about the standard of Christ, it's always bringing these things together. True hearts, full assurance of faith, pure water. And when that veil got rent, which we heard a lot about last Sunday, that's amazing, this 4-inch thick veil. 40 to 60 foot high, gets rent in two. And before that, you could not go in behind that veil unless you were the high priest. And at that point, you had to be so pure that if anything was hindering you, you would be killed. But the veil has been torn. Now, do you believe we can just all go trampling in there with our sin, with our baggage? Praise God, Jesus tore the veil. Now we're free to do what we want. It isn't that way. It's still holy. Christ is holy, pure. It's still the holiest of holies. The only difference is now it's within our own temple. It's within our own heart. The veil has been rent, and now Jesus Christ is free to dwell within the heart of people. Let's not trample this holy ground. Let's meet the standard. Let's meet Christ. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, it says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. There's not going to be any shame when you're living in the standard. You know, it's because you have the Bible. You have the Spirit of God confirming your choices. I have to think, and I don't want to keep using our community as an example, but it just comes to me. But can you imagine if one of your children were to leave this church? Leave what we've been teaching them and go somewhere else? And you can't take them to the Bible? Can you imagine that? You can't open up the Bible and say, "Son, this is what Jesus taught." You know, there's a lot of that going on right now where children are leaving. Maybe they're trying to find something different. They're trying to find something truthful. And the parents can't even take them to the Word of God because they've built their standard on something that's not Christ. See, when you build your standard on Christ, you have all of heaven behind you. "Son, let's read this together. Is this the road you're taking?" "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Now, that's a beautiful verse. And it hinges on what we commit that he is able to keep. It's what we're willing to commit that Christ is going to keep. Will you commit your life to his standard? Will you surrender your life to his standard? He promises to keep you. But it's contingent. There was an old Christian woman. And through her life, she had a lot of the Bible memorized. I challenge all of us here to the same thing. But as she got older, her memory started taking a toll on her memory. Her age started taking a toll on her memory. We all know how that gets. And it started to be where she couldn't come up with these verses quite as quick. You know, it burdened her that she didn't have all these verses like she used to. And it got to be when she was very, very old. 1 Timothy 1:12 was the only verse she could remember. And it wasn't even the whole verse. She was laying on her deathbed of old age, and she kept on saying, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against this day." Then pretty soon, a few days later, all she could say is, "I have committed unto him against this day. I have committed unto him against this day." As the last moments of her life were fleeting, her family was gathered around her. What a beautiful picture this is. It's a picture I pray we all can experience. And I noticed she was saying something. They couldn't hear it, but her mouth was moving. They thought maybe she needed something. So one of the children went down, and all she was saying was, "Him, him, him." You know, she only had one word in the whole Bible left. But yet she had the whole Bible memorized. You know, and that's where we need to be. When we lower the standard, people. When we lower the standard, we're leaving him. We're leaving that precious Christ who came to this earth. You know, God could have done so many other things, but he came to this earth physically. People ask me all the time, "Why did Jesus come? What a beautiful thing. He came to teach us this standard. He came to teach us of himself. Learn of me. Learn of me," is what he said. Don't deviate from this. Don't leave this standard. Because you start building your life on principles that are not of Christ. You know, in 1 John, it's a book of assurance. It's a wonderful book of assurance. I often think of this. If you want to know if you're walking in this standard of Christ, you can go through 1 John, and you can easily see. And the reason is because 1 John, the apostle here, starts laying out some standards. Now, I know what you probably think of. Well, Christ is a standard, right? Well, Christ is the standard. That's where Christ is. But you know, there's teachers, and the Apostle John is one of them, that the Apostle John starts bringing it out. Different ways that we can lead to Christ. He wants to teach us of ways, applications to get us to the standard. You know, if you went down to Papua New Guinea and you talked to a heathen rebel, a cannibal, And he never heard of Jesus before. He's never heard of the Bible. And all you left with him was Jesus Christ. No, I'm not doubting that Christ doesn't have the power to do something miraculous there. But he's probably going to wonder, now what? How can I obtain to this Christ? The one who brings the sun up every morning and puts it down at night. The one who brings the flowers, the change of seasons. This God that I've always known was there. Now he has a name. His name is Jesus. But now what? So you decide to stay there and you try to disciple him. And when you disciple him, you start bringing in these different applications that lead to this standard. You know, 1 John goes through this. And I just want to go through a few of these. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, we need to have fellowship one with another and with God and with Christ. That's a standard. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. A standard of Christ is to be sensitive to sin. To be sensitive to sin. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Can you imagine the Apostle John? He wants his people here to follow this Christ, this standard of Christ. And so he's telling them in one of these points, you need to obey Jesus. You need to obey this standard. You need to follow this standard. You need to have fellowship one with another. You need to be sensitive to sin. Don't let sin just reign. But when it comes in, you cringe at that and you repent and you confess it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Oh, it's a wonderful teaching. And you know, it just doesn't quite make sense if you're sitting there fumbling with that light bulb and it just doesn't quite click. You know, what does he mean not to love the world? I asked somebody last night, you know, what does that mean to you not to love the world? It's kind of confusing. But when that light bulb turns on, it's just something that happens. And you know, I can assure you that if we take these applications... And you know, church standards is another step of this. And so the Apostle John says, love not the world here. And then the leadership in your church, the leadership in this church, well, they want to take that and they want to bring a few things off of that to help us to get to that. That we need to love one another. The Bible says here that you will know, people will know that you're a Christian by your love one for another. What an amazing truth. What an amazing standard. You mean to say that if I don't love my brother, that the people in the world are going to see that and to realize that I'm not meeting the standard? They even know the standard. And so maybe the leadership here at this church, they put a few things out off of that standard. Maybe they have little Bible study groups. We all meet once a month or once every 2 weeks. We work together in church projects. You know, this is this church here trying to put some standards out so that we can meet this standard that leads us to Christ. And you know, when we're in that standard, we want it. We want as much as we can get. It's wisdom, as we just heard this morning. We listen and we hear. We want it. We want to turn to that. You know, what a blessing it would be if a 16, 17-year-old newly converted person in this church would come up to a brother and say, help me get to this standard. What can I do? Knowing they're going to get something in return. You know, last night I asked a brother, is there anything in my life that you see that you'd like to see changed? And you know, that's usually where it ends. It usually ends right there. And usually when we ask that, we know it ends right there. You know, sometimes the flesh doesn't want a response. But that brother gave me a response. You know, I had to cherish that. And at home I had to think, you know what? Actually this morning, my quiet time, I said, Lord, help me in this area. It's an area I've often wondered about. It's an area I knew that the Lord might be pressing his hand on. And I ask a brother and he confirms it, and he says, yes, I think this is an area where you could work on a little bit. You know, I love you, brother. I love the things you're doing. You're an encouragement. But you know what? When this happens, sometimes it pricks me a little bit. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. To live in the standard of Christ. To be open. To resist. It's a good time to deny your flesh in that time. But you know, when you read through 1 John, and you start realizing, you know, and this can just come out just like a tree. You know, then maybe in your homes, you say, the elders told us that we should do this. So here, family, I want to do it this way. I think we all should do it this way. And I want to assure you of this. This is the standard. These here are objections to get to that. This is a path to get to this. If I decide because the elders have said something that I want to teach my family this, that doesn't mean that everybody in this church has to do this. Doesn't mean that. It's what I've chosen because I feel it's best for my family. Now, if I choose something that I feel is best for my family to help me get to this standard, and now I make that it's the standard for everybody else, now I've got a little bit of a problem. You know, we got to be careful because sometimes our children, in their simple minds, they think that. You know, Daddy, you told me that I shouldn't wear this, but I saw somebody today at the store that had one of these on. They must not be a Christian. There's danger there. We need to be able to understand that the Bible, the Word of God, obviously 1 John, these are teachings that we must follow. But we also have to realize, too, that in our local body here, we might do things a little different than other churches because we have leaders here that might have a different angle or a different concern, or maybe we're in a different place. But the key is this, it's got to happen. It's got to be because of Christ. It has to be because of Christ. That has to be your final spot. I'm going here because of that standard that I want, because of that peace. And once you experience it, you don't want to go anywhere else. Now, another big danger here. People want to get to Jesus. So you know what they do? We happen to be in an area of this country where we see this all over. They start trying to get through Jesus through right here. And they try working their way up through these standards, these applications to get to Jesus. And their whole life is a big, confusing maze. It has to start with Christ. It has to start with the light bulb turning on. You know, if you take 1 John, you make 12 applications in 1 John, you put them up in your bathroom window so that every morning when you're getting ready, you're looking at these applications, you're saying, I need to do these things. I need to do these things. They're hard. I don't really want to do them, but I need to do them so that I can be a Christian. You'll never find peace, and you'll never find Jesus. There was an example once, I was talking to an older man. And for some reason, and we're talking about other churches and other standards, sometimes we don't understand them. But for some reason, this was years ago, and I'm almost certain you all know what I'm talking about. For some reason, through all this, their church had decided that your barn needs to be white. Well, he didn't see it. He didn't understand why his barn needed to be white. Never is it in the Bible that our barn should be white. So why should my barn have to be white? I'd kind of like a different colored barn. But he knew that he'd get in trouble if it wasn't white, so he talked to the painter, and the painter was able to mix just enough color into this paint that it was still considered white, but his barn actually looked gray. Do we see the folly in that? It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. You know, if our leaders want to bring out an application, let's try to real quietly and earnestly discern where this is going. Why are they doing this? There has to be a reason. I can assure you, and I'm not sure about this church I'm speaking of because maybe Christ isn't their head. But in a church where we're going forward to the standard of Christ and our leaders are believers in Jesus Christ and they're responsible for our souls, why are they doing this? Why don't they want me to wear this certain thing? How about this? Am I going to have to break my own conviction to change? Am I going to have to break my own conviction to have a white barn? No. And I respect the leaders of my church. I respect the leader of my faith. The leader of my church is Christ. I respect the elders of my church. And I'm going to do what they have me to do. And I'm going to rest in that. I'm going to trust in them because I know that they're wanting to get me to the standard that's Christ. You know, people are scared of standards because this thing has been flipped around. And everybody's trying to go through the standards to get to Jesus, and they know it won't work. The next thing you know, you got a bunch of people that have fulfilled the local standard, but they don't have Jesus within. And obviously, that's a huge concern. But it doesn't work that way, because it's very easy to see the light's not on. And if you're in a group of people that's trying to do that, you need to get out of that group. Let's not use a group of people that has been doing that their whole lives, setting up little standards here and here, maybe to separate them from the world, but yet not join them with Christ. And so therefore, we don't want anything to do with that standard because it was misused before. Let our resistance be against the outside. The outside is trying to penetrate the church. Let's resist the outside. Let's resist temptation. Let's resist the devil in all his ways. Let's not resist what's going on inside. Inside, a beautiful thing is trying to develop. Jesus is trying to build his church. He's trying to purify and cleanse. He's using structure. He's using all manner of submission. He's using a love for the brothers. And if you can just lay down for that, you're going to find yourself living in the standard of Christ, and your attention is now going to be a cry against the American standard. And it's not going to be an individual thing. It's going to be a joint effort. And it's a beautiful thing. You look at the military. You know, when you join the military, I think when my brother joined the Marine Corps, I don't think he had a clue what he was getting involved in. He was running from a lot of things, and he had no idea what he was running into. And I would in no wise want to compare the Church of Christ with the military, but there is a lesson here, I think. And when he got off that bus for 3 months of boot camp, one of the toughest, strongest-minded men in the whole world got broke real quick. And that was their job. Their job was to tear down anything in him. They made him do the most foolish things just to break their will. Certain things like maybe standing in front of everybody with your arms in the air dancing, saying, "I'm a little teacup. I'm a little teacup," for hours. Just to break their will. And the reason they were doing that is so that there was nothing inside going to hinder them from what was going to happen in the future if we ever got in a war. So that everybody involved would be focused on the opponent. Because the will has been shattered. And you know, it's a wonderful standard. It's a wonderful standard, and that's what God wants to do. He wants to break everything inside. All that resistance that sometimes you feel when something within the church happens, repent of it. Let it go and turn that resistance on the world. You know, they change your hair. They change the way you dress. They change everything about you once you get off that bus. You are a changed person. And 3 months later, my brother was a different person. Now, it didn't last more than maybe 2 hours because it was a different standard. And we base it off the standard of Christ. You know what? All these applications that John makes, all these applications that we make, we do them for Christ. You know, I paint my barn white for Jesus Christ. I love my brother because of Jesus Christ. Whatever it would be, it's because of Christ, and we know that. And we're a testimony to the world. There is no resistance. We're soft, we're pliable. If you try to just conform to the church's standard, you're going to miss the real standard. If you try to just do it because they want you to do it, you're going to miss the true standard. If that's your heart, there is a God that would love to change it. And I've heard testimonies of people in here before that used to be their heart, and God changed them. Tired of resisting. Tired of, why do we got to do that? God wants to make it so that it's a joy. You know, the church I grew up in, the men sat over here and the women sat over here. I have no idea why they do that. It was just something we grew up in. But I do know that a few new people came into church here in the last few years, my parents were saying, and they don't like that idea. So they sit with their families in the back. Now, is there anything wrong with that? Obviously, we don't think there's anything wrong with sitting with your family. Obviously, we don't understand maybe why we sit separate. But it's a standard the church has set forth, and you need to submit in that standard. Because if you don't, it's like a cog in a gearbox that's just clicking. It doesn't work. It doesn't flow together. Ask God to give you the heart that wants to just submit. But like I said, don't think then that all the other churches have to do it that way. You know, when I was raised, you folded your hands when you prayed. And it was very serious. And it still is to this day. I don't even know if my mom hardly ever prayed. I think instead of praying, she was just making sure our hands were folded. And even today, if we go back to grandma and grandpa's for a meal, sometimes I'll get a text or a call on the way home saying, you know, your children weren't folding their hands. And I tell my children, you know, when we're at grandma and grandpa's, we should fold our hands. You know what? So what I try to do is I try to just have my children fold our hands. But I want you to know something, that when I first got born again, somebody gave me a few of Denny Kennison's CDs, and I loved them dearly. Changed my life. So when I found out a few months after I was born again that Denny Kennison died, somebody let me know that you can actually go online and you can watch his funeral. You can watch this funeral of Denny Kennison. And I thought, well, if it's not too far away, maybe we should just go. But it didn't work out. So I went online and I got this picture of this room here. And a man comes up and he puts his hand right here and his hand right here. And he says, let's pray. And he started praying. And it shocked me. And I turned it off. What are these guys up to? This is the world. They're not folding their hands. You know, that's the danger we get into when we make the standard salvation. When we make our standard the standard for everybody. It isn't that way. I love the fact that the church I grew up in folds their hand in reverence for God. I think it's a major blessing. But that isn't how everybody else feels. And I had to get over that. There's things that we do that other people are probably a little bit confused about. But we do it for a purpose because we want to get to the standard of Christ. We can't make our standards the standard. The standard is Jesus. So just trust in that. Trust in that. Trust your brothers. Trust your leaders. When you lose trust, it's not from God, I can assure you. And unless you can outright say that these people are not of God, these people have went the way of the devil, you need to submit into trust. And that's when there's peace. That's when we can start going upward. You know, we have to load hogs a lot. And it's amazing because when a hog realizes that you're trying to get him to go a certain direction, it doesn't matter if you're trying to get him to go to the hog, the feed, or the trailer, or wherever, he won't do it. He's going to go against where you want him to go. And that's frustrating. Some of us have dealt with that. It's almost like you got to lead him the other way to get him to go where you want him to go. There ain't no peace in that hog's life or my life when I'm doing it, I can assure you. Let it be easy. Submit. I was preaching in a church a long ways away from here. And the brother I was staying with, I love him dearly, and I was talking to him, and he made this comment. He says, just be careful. Be careful. If you want to talk about a standard, be very careful, because at this church, their standard is Jesus. Does anybody think that just sounds a little wrong? And we've developed this. We've developed this thing that Jesus is my standard, so therefore I don't want any of this. I don't want any direction. I don't want any counsel. I don't want any structure. Jesus is my rock, and I'm going there alone. And if you try to bring in anything else, I'm opposed to it. There's not peace there. We know there's not peace there. It's the different picture of the lowly Jesus that was about to do his Father's will. It's a different picture than you know, if Jesus was 12 years old and sitting here, he'd be in the front row here, just listening and soaking it in, wanting to know how he can do this better, how he can walk in truth, what he can do to glorify his God. If you look back in history, the church has always made application. You know, the church made so much application that people that were not even Christians sometimes followed it. That's pretty strong. The church was influencing the world at that time. But today it's so strong the other way. We're in a world of individualism. We're in a world where there is no standard, and any standard at all is bondage. We're starting to let that influence a bit. It's just the case. You know, we look around and everybody's dunking the basketball, and we kind of like to dunk it too, but we can't reach the 10 foot. What do we do? Do we humble ourselves and repent and turn to God and ask him for more grace and strength and wisdom and understanding and knowledge? Or do we just make it easy and drop the thing down? Now, we know the answer, but yet, what are we going to do? It might be two different things. I know it's hard. I know it's tough. Denying the flesh. But the reward is wonderful. And when you have that peace that passeth all understanding, you don't want anything else. You know, basic Christian teachings, just basic Christian teachings. Love your neighbor. Give to the poor. Forgive. Treat others. Basic Christian teachings make for a wonderful life. A wonderful life. But the deep Christian teachings lead us to denying our life. You know, when we start reproving sin, resisting sin, preaching the gospel, turning from the world, that starts leading to a more uncomfortable life. And sometimes it's easy just to cut that stuff out of our Bibles. Cut that part out of the standard and make this Christ actually just be about me. Boy, when I love my neighbors, guess what? They love me. Maybe they help my business. We need Christ to be at the center of this. You know, groups create their own standard. It's not based off of Christ. They come over here and they create their own standard. And for you, then, in that group, to shoot for this standard over here, it makes everybody else kind of uncomfortable. Maybe it's in your workplace. You know, if I live a holy life, it makes everybody uncomfortable and they think I'm some super spiritual person. So I'm going to lower the standard a little bit so I can fit in over here. It's common. It's a common thing to do. It's called the fear of man. We lower our standard to fit the standard around us. I had to think back when I worked in Van Wert. You know, we would try to encourage our sales team to just be full of zeal and work hard. You know, your paycheck is going to come on how hard you work. But you know what? Eventually, just kind of get a little bit lukewarm and everybody kind of just lower that standard. I remember we hired a salesman in that was on fire. And he was going to talk to every customer. He came from a big city dealership and he had the sales tactic down. And it made everybody else hate him. They hated him. You know, it was a sad situation. It just really was. You know, here he was just trying to do his job the best he could. You didn't catch him surfing the internet. You didn't catch him just monkeying around. He was out on the car lot. He was knowing the cars. He was talking to customers. He was doing everything he could because he knew he had a family at home that he had to provide for. And he raised the standard back where it should have been, and everybody else that was underneath of him despised him for it. You know, and it's just reality. That kind of environment over a period of time, it's going to break you down. That's why Brother Nelson said it so well this morning. We shouldn't be around that kind of environment. That's why when people get born again and they know this is a standard and they sit over here in this group and they say, I'm going to try to change this group. I'm going to stay here and try to bring them to this. It never works that way. You're not strong enough. Christ calls us to be separate from the world. Don't live within it and try to change it to the standard of Christ while you're still within it. The standard has always been, obey God. Love God. Look at Solomon, look at David. If you obey me, if you follow my ways, I will bless you. It's the same God we serve today. Let's not let the American standard destroy our standard. Let's not let the American standard come in and bring down our standard. In closing, Jesus said, unless we become as little children. Just think of that. In light of this message, just think of you as a little child. You're full of trust. You have the best daddy in the world, the best mommy in the world. They want what's best for you. Submitting is not something you have to work hard at. It's something you want to do. You want so badly to be like your daddy when you grow older. You want to be like your mommy when you get older. You want to have a big family like your parents do. You know that the world is not going to help you, so you resist it. I just challenge us here in closing that we would just take on that mind. And unless something happens that actually brings a conviction against your own soul and against the Word of God, trust, submit, and love. Find it your comfort zone, the brotherhood. All week long, I'm in the world, dealing with the world, sharing with the world, in business with the world. And now I'm here with my brothers and sisters. What a wonderful place to be. What a comfort. What a beautiful thing. Because these people, I can trust. They love me. They would die for me. They want to see me and my family reach this standard. You know, maybe this isn't reality in your life. Maybe you're not there. If you don't trust somebody, go to them with tears in your eyes. Ask them. Talk to them. Overcome. Make sure that not only you hear that click, but make sure that light bulb is on. I plead with you.